There's no more condemnation if you walk in the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you don't belong to God, and you've received the Spirit of adoption.
God's resistance.
Thank you for tuning in here this morning. Glad that you have joined us. We are continuing our study here on the book of Romans. We're going to be in the first 18 verses of Romans 8, and an interesting chapter that kind of concludes a lot of the points that he was making up from the beginning up until this point, especially helping to pull together Romans chapter 7. And so we're just going to get right into it. So let's move on here to Romans chapter 8. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now it says, "There is therefore no condemnation." So we've got to see, why is those words "therefore" even there? If we go back to Romans chapter 7, he was talking about who will deliver me from the body of this death. I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord, that that'll happen. He said, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He realized that there were two opposing forces and Christ was going to take care of that fleshly aspect. And so he comes back to Romans, or he goes to Romans 8:1 and says, there is therefore, in light of all this, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Remember, Paul before said when we were in the flesh, but something's different now. Now we are in Christ Jesus. And so there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. And this is what it means to be in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So a lot of times people would say, well, I walk in the Spirit. I've been saved. And some people might say, well, that's just my flesh. But what do we mean by all that? Well, I would like to go over here and look at Galatians. Let's see. I've got it down in my notes here. Galatians 5:19. So we're going to go to 5:19 and scoot down here. He says, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now listen to what he says here. Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So if we were to take the definition that, you know, people give right now, where they say, well, I'm in the, that's just my flesh. My flesh wants this. The definition of flesh, as we just looked at inside of, what do we got here? Galatians 5. The definition of flesh there does not allow for us to be looking at things like this. We cannot look at flesh now as just, you know, something that's normal to the Christian life. He said, if you do these things, then you are going to be not inheriting the kingdom of God. So if we do these things, we don't have the kingdom of God. That's a pretty serious endeavor. And he said, we don't have condemnation if we're in Christ Jesus, and being in Christ Jesus is someone who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Remember, if we go back to Romans chapter 7, he said, ye were in the flesh. Brethren, do you remember when you were in the flesh? So a Christian being in the flesh should be past tense. It's not somewhere where we're living right now, and it's the power of Christ that delivers us from the flesh. And so he says, we don't have condemnation if we walk in Christ, and walking in Christ is walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh, because walking in the flesh will bar us out of heaven, according to Galatians 5:19 through 21. Wow, that's a lot, right? Well, let's move on to Romans 8:2. He says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So what is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? The law is simply like the law of gravity. You know, it's not like a written code or something. It's this law of force, of life, of power. You know, we have scientific laws that we have observed that are repeatable, that happen and happen over and over and over again. The law of gravity, whether or not we can fully maybe explain it or whatnot, we can see that the law of gravity is real. You hold something up, you let it go, it drops. He says there is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. I would submit to you that the law of God, you know, the written code and whatever, that had no spirit of life, that had no power. And that is precisely when we go back to Romans 7, what he was talking about. The law had no power. All it did was show us the sin. And then he said, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? What shall I do? He says the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So that's one law. That law made me free from the law of sin and death. And the law of sin and death is the law of sin, because we have that there's that corrupted fallen nature, as Paul said before, the sin that dwelleth in me. So we are subject to that law of sin. I find within me a law within my members, the law of sin, he said in Romans 7. So there's the law of sin, which is that sin that dwelleth in me. And then there's the law of death, because Adam sinned, death has entered the world. And because sin is in the world, the natural result is that sin leads unto death. Those are two laws that are inescapable if we're to just try and do this by sheer human force. But he says, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's the fix, hath made me free from the law of sin, that is indwelling sin that's in my members, and made me free from death. That's the power of Christ, dear listener. Victory. We've got to keep the note of victory in front of us. Oftentimes we just, the flesh, oh, the corruption that's come into the earth. The depravity, and oh, man is so depraved and so depraved. We're not denying the fact that depravity has entered the world and there is loads of trouble. But I feel like we have lifted depravity so high, we forgot the exalted Christ, who says the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath, past tense. And usually when you see hath in a King James, like a TH at the end, that's something that happened in the past and yet continues to happen still up into this present day. So he says the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. It happened back there and it's still true now, from the law of sin and death. So now that indwelling sin, that doesn't have that power over me anymore. The law of death doesn't have that power over me anymore, because I've been made free from the power of the life of Jesus Christ within me. That should make anyone shout. That should make anyone just say, thank God for his unspeakable gift of salvation. Let's move on to verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, and Romans 7 told us that, God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So what does that help us to realize? Well, first of all, we realize the only strength the law has was to make sin exceedingly sinful, according to Romans chapter 7. But he says here that God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. So for he said that the law showed the weakness of the flesh, and that the flesh, just human flesh without God, could not obey God's law in that way and free them from the trouble that was inside of their soul and free them from all that. There was no freedom there. It was simply pointing things out. He said that we realize the flesh is weak. That is, unaided humanity is weak without God. We can't do that just by ourselves. There's something of a tandem effort here. God calls, and as we obey him, he gives power to do the very things that he's asking us to do. And we realize here, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now we realize Jesus, he came in human flesh, but he was not sinful. It said in the likeness of sinful flesh. So he came as a man here on earth. He sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, that is sin as a package, sin as that corrupted part of the nature, sin as the transgressions of sin. He said, God, sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. What does that mean? Jesus came in the flesh and lived a holy life. So while he was in the flesh, he condemned sin instead of sin condemning him. He condemned sin. So therefore, that leads us to believe our way out of this whole predicament is Christ. Because he came in the flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, and there is our victory. Stop looking at the enormity of your sin. Stop looking at the enormity of the fall and depravity. We need to acknowledge that those things are an issue. It is what's happening here in this world right now. But we need to also then look away, when we've acknowledged that, to the risen Christ, who God sent into this world to free us from the law of sin and death, and also who condemned sin in the flesh because he conquered sin and he rose again from the dead. Praise God. Then we move into verse 4 here, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So Jesus came in the flesh, condemned sin in the flesh. Now, if I walk after Jesus Christ, my faith is in him. He has, he's converted me. He saved me. I've been born again. He has done this inside of my life and heart, and I am filled with his Spirit. Now, I don't walk after the flesh anymore, but I walk after the Spirit. And in walking after the Spirit, I now am empowered. I am empowered, and the righteousness of the law is a reality inside of my heart. Not because I worked myself into it, but because Jesus Christ is resident and king upon my heart. Now, that same Christ that walked this earth is living in me, and now that righteousness that I see in the law is natural in me because Christ is in me. I now have overcome those things because of the indwelling Jesus Christ in my faith in him, in my abiding in him. He then, the fruits of himself, is pressing out in every portion of our being, making us righteous, actually imparting righteousness to us. Now, we don't have the righteousness in and of ourselves. It's the indwelling Christ. And then we move to the fifth verse. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So if you go around trying to just simply obey all of God's law by sheer human strength without the power of the risen Christ within you, you end up just minding fleshly things. Because you're doing everything by that fleshly power, then the flesh is your focus. And in doing so, you end up still finding you are captive to those wicked and evil desires, and you have no victory over that. And so the flesh is then still your master. But when you mind the things of the Spirit, when you're following after the Spirit of God, it's like Jesus said, if you believe in me, rivers of living water will flow out of you. So as we believe in Christ, we are empowered, and the Spirit of life makes us free from the law of sin and death. We have a brand new life. It's him. He's dwelling within. And then he tells us then in verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When you are enamored with Christ, when your horizon and your vision is filled with him and his power and his grace and his authority and him sitting on the throne and him having control of your heart, when he is everything to you, then you have peace in your life because you have victory in Jesus Christ. He said in verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity or hostile against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we can't train just a fleshly nature to simply obey God. It must be crucified. The body of death must be something that we are delivered from through the risen Christ, where he slays it and raises us to new life and then empowers us to live the very way that he's asked. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Impossible to do so. There has to be a death. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we're not in the flesh if Jesus Christ dwells in us. But here's the other thing. If Jesus doesn't dwell in us, if the fruit of the Spirit is not something that is operating inside of our lives, we don't have the Spirit of Christ. And if we don't have the Spirit of Christ, then we do not belong to God, according to this verse. Sober words. So you can't live like a sinner and then say, I'm a Christian. That's essentially what these words are saying. Verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So we're still headed towards a death in this physical body, where that's still going to be upwards here in front of us on the horizon. But he said our spirit is life because Jesus lives within us. But there's also another thing for our body. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So you have the down payment. You have the deposit of the Spirit. If you are saved, if he lives within you and the fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life, you have the down payment of God's Spirit, and he will raise you up in that resurrection day, and he's going to take care of the body as well. So he's going to give a resurrection body where death doesn't have any hold on it anymore. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Thank God. If we live by His Spirit, we're now His children. We're not debtors to the flesh anymore. That's been crucified. Christ is now on the throne. And now we then mortify the deeds of the body. And I don't think that mortifying the deeds of the body necessarily means sin. Mortifying the deeds of the body is we still are living in this body and we can use good things in a wrong way. So we have this saying no to self, picking up the cross, following Jesus Christ. But it's not necessarily just this struggle after sin. It is a constant battle of temptation that can be there. Yes, but we have the power of the risen Christ within us. For then he says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." You're no longer your own. You don't belong to yourself. You have received the spirit of adoption. You're not an orphan. You belong to God the Father, and God the Father will give you victory and keep you in his love and in his power. And he says, those that are really saved, verse 16, "The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Don't stop short of having the witness of God's Spirit that you're a child of God. If you don't have the witness, then keep seeking until you do. That's the privilege of any believer, to know that they have been saved, to know that they please God, to know that they walk with God and that God accepts them. If you don't know that, then keep seeking. Don't wait for someone else to tell you everything's okay. You seek until you know, because the Spirit of God will give you that witness. Your spirit will say, "Yes, I've met God's condition," and his spirit will say, "Yes, that is my child," and nobody can take that away from you. Verse 17, "And if the children," if your children then, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. If we're his children, everything that God gives to Christ is ours. He's our older brother. We're joint heirs with him. So we have to walk with him the way he walked and the way that he's walking in us and through us, which oftentimes may lead to suffering in a world that hates God. He said, but if we suffer with him, then we'll be glorified together and we're joint heirs with God. That's what we've got waiting for us ahead. Victory, victory, victory. That's the note of the gospel. And he said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." Praise God. Dear listener, you have a mighty Savior. A Savior that will give you victory. A Savior that is going to give you what's been given to him. You are joint heirs with him. Keep your sight on Jesus Christ. Your next step is to call 570-362-7782. I'd love to talk with you over the phone. If you're local, I'd love to get together with you. Every Thursday at 5:30 p.m., we have street meeting in the Wilkes-Barre Public Square. 6:30 on Thursday, we have a Bible study at Abide Coffee Shop. And then every Sunday at 4 p.m., we have a street meeting on the Wilkes-Barre Public Square. You're invited to all of it, and we want to see you there.